And it's time again for the Community Connection right here on WFIW AM 1390 103.3 FM. I am your host, Jeremy Smith, being joined today by, and I've been waiting to say this, Mayor Mike Dreed.
Well, yes, it's been an interesting journey from deciding to run for mayor to the election to now. I'm really excited. My calendar is filling up.
I can only imagine. You hit the ground running before the inauguration.
Well, I've been in the office for 2 weeks prior to this, not just renovating the office, but trying to get in front of problems, the kind of problems that are going to land on my desk as soon as I take over the duties.
I can imagine there's no shortage of those either.
No, there isn't, really. I mean, and the truth of the matter is, in my mind, I'm making sure that I partition my day so that it's not just dealing with problems. I want to be proactive. I want to think of a part of the day that I'm going to do something in a positive way for the city, not just be drowned with the different things that are happening when it comes to, it's a flurry of things, ordinances. We've become really enamored with liquor and gaming machines.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can find an empty gaming machine in Fairfield, and then I'll tell you that we need more.
Right, right.
I'm not as fired up about adding more of either liquor or slot machines as anybody before me. I'm just not as excited about that. I think we might have hit our quota.
You know, that's interesting. Let me ask you, coming in and looking at this preliminarily, the revenue that was said originally would come towards the county and the town over these machines, are we seeing evidence that that's happening?
Oh, there's money coming to the city and town, but at what cost? I mean, where's that money coming from? And where would it have gone if it hadn't gone into a slot machine?
Right.
You know, I mean, we're talking over $1 million out of Fairfield last year. That money could have gone to churches, to, you know, the soup kitchen, to any one of a number of things that would have helped the net to be able to help the entire town. But instead, yeah, some of it went back into the city coffers because the city gets its cut of the action. State gets its cut, which is a big chunk,
right.
And then some goes into the pockets of the people that host the machines. That's why everybody wants a machine.
A little bit of pie to go around, just not quite equal slices then.
Right. It's sliced up pretty well. I'd like to find other ways to be able to finance city endeavors.
Now, what would some of those ways be that you're looking into or that you would like to see come our way?
Well, I think that there's only two ways to be able to right the ship financially, and that is you start looking at the things that you have to cut, and you have to look at the things where you could increase revenue. As far as the cutting side, I'm not ready to say anything needs to be cut until I have a long conversation with our city treasurer and with the different department heads. I have to know, and what I am encouraging and what I'm asking them to look forward to is a zero-balance budget. In other words, when they come in for their budget, they've got nothing. They've got to make justification for everything so that I can hear it and understand its need, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then that there is a set aside a little bit in case, you know, this broke or that broke. But trying to screw down and get on top of, because that's really the mayor's job, quite honestly, to be on top of over a $20 million business. Where's the money going? I don't know at this point. That's what I have to learn. And then from a revenue enhancement standpoint, the one thing that I believe I will be looking at is the possibility of a sales tax. I'm a conservative. I'm not a taxing person.
Right.
However, if you look at the sales tax in Fairfield, we're at 7%. Every other town around us, I mean every other town around us, is higher than that. If you go into Mount Vernon to buy something instead of buying it in Fairfield, you're paying over 9% on your sales tax.
Really?
And the thing about that is if we were able to nudge it up a little bit, and I have to look at the research as to how to do that, whether that's a referendum or a city council vote, I don't know at this moment. That person from Sisney who comes down to buy stuff at our Walmart will be contributing to the city of Fairfield. You see, it won't be just Fairfield people. And some things are excluded. You know, there's some medicine and different things that are excluded from that sales tax.
Right.
But that would be a way for outside folks to be able to help our bottom line. So I haven't decided that's where I want to go, but that's certainly something I'm going to look at.
Fantastic. We look forward to figuring out what your decision is from there. Now, I understand there's a few other things that are normal boilerplate for an incoming mayor to do first off, like appointments and whatnot.
Right.
How many of those are you looking to do right away, and how many of those are you going to take your time and research prior to making decisions on?
Well, we have a recommendation, and we're pursuing the recommendation from the library board. But other than that, quite honestly, the rest of these, and there's a list, they go from some department heads, the police chief, the fire chief, the assistant fire chief, the treasurer, the city collector, the city attorney. There's a rather sizable list. And quite honestly, I think that's a trap to announce their continued one-year appointment when I haven't been in the mayor's seat, for hours, right, much less days. I think the smart thing to do is to personally evaluate them, have conversations about goals that we're going to work on together, and then I'd feel comfortable at some predetermined time, undetermined, I would say, time, right, to announce one-year appointments for all of them, or changes, for that matter. So there'll be a number of those appointments that I'm not sure at this point whether it's going to be a month down the road or 2 months down the road that I'll make those appointments. But in the meantime, the ordinance says the people that are currently in those offices stay in those offices until I make that decision. Okay. And it has to go to the city council. It's my decision that has to be backed up by a city council vote.
Right. You have to get the approval, yes, of the council, at least by majority, then, I'm
right,
assuming. All right. Looking over the agenda for the council meeting for this evening, you're going to be recognizing the oath of a new police officer. Can you,
yes,
give us any information about that?
Yes, Officer Esmond is a member of the Illinois National Guard, or an Army reservist. I'm not quite sure if he's a part of the Illinois National Guard or he's just a reservist. But he did a tour in the Middle East.
Really?
And is back and completed Police Training Institute at Champaign-Urbana. They did not have a graduation because of COVID. He's back and he's in the field right now, and in particular, Chief Kalklager is supervising his local training. So he's going to be on the street, is on the street, but under supervision at this time. And we're grateful to be able to have another full-time police officer. This was a problem. We were using people for extended shifts and giving them overtime. And the overall budget in the police department was, if you put two or three new officers in, you could save money from what was being spent on the overtime of, and you really don't want your police officers working double shifts and stuff like that. But that they were getting significant extra hours, and it was a budget buster, quite honestly. So we're really glad to see Officer Esmond. He will be sworn in, as well as all of the other folks that are going to be sworn in at the meeting.
You're going to be a slew of folks sworn in, as a matter of fact. New appointees coming off the election, just like with yourself. So it's going to prove to be a pretty long agenda for you there on that end, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's going to be. I think we can get through it fairly quickly. You know, the old board convenes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll be recognizing some of the longtime trust council members, mm-hmm, who are no longer, who didn't run for reelection. And then we will kick into the other oaths of office, the new aldermen, then Tina Hutchcraft, who will have to have somebody swear her in, so they'll turn the tables. Her, she ran and was unopposed and was reelected. Then we'll do the mayor's oath of office. And so, I mean, yeah, it could take a little while. We have the police officer. We have there are a number of appointments. I have to be appointed to a number of positions in the IMEA, the IPEA, a number of different organizations that the city is a part of.
Great. Now let's switch gears a little bit. I know a lot of people have been asking about this. We're all interested to know. Let's talk Fairfield City Band. What's going on with that?
You know, I think having the band back would be a signal that we're moving towards back to normal, quite honestly. So I know a lot of people that want to see the band return to their summer concerts. So I talked to Josh Livesay, who's not only the city band director, but also, you know, out at the high school. What a great guy. I really, really enjoy talking to him. He's always enthusiastic about everything that he does. And he says, yes, we'd like to do the concerts in June and July. Usually it's five concerts, culminating with the 4th of July, right around there with a patriotic recital. And so we left it with, I'll take it to the city council to be able to get the money that is a part of this, the budget. And he's now trying to assemble a band to be able to satisfy a five performance stint.
And do you know, and if not, I understand, I can always reach out to him as well, but do you happen to know roughly about how many individuals are needing?
I'm not sure. You know, I know you're a talented musician yourself.
I'm always available.
Well, I have to say, he told me, and I can't recall, all of the different pieces that he was going to need when it comes to this band. I mean, and he says, I know I have this, I know that, I don't know if I don't know if I have the person who normally plays the flute for us. So it was his job to go out and connect with everybody to make sure he would have the critical mass of people to be able to do these concerts. So really this is a preemptive move to say, yes, Josh, we would like to see the city band. The city council is going to have to vote on allotting money towards this project. And I'm hoping that they do.
We all hope they do. It's a great band. They do a wonderful job every year. Have enjoyed it since I've been in the area. And again, always available if needed.
2 years ago, I recorded their entire concert, and it sounds, I mean, it's broadcast quality. So, I mean, they're very talented.
Well, I know we still use a clip or two of them on Morning Coffee.
Right.
Even. And like you said, fantastic, fantastic quality, fantastic band. Let's talk about, I guess for a lack of better terms to segue in, going to the dogs. We were talking a little bit about needing a certain type of industry in town. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, there's been a lot of dog talk in town. I'm not sure that the dog industry is where we want to go, quite honestly. I was poking some fun at one of your comrades here at the radio station, who has a very good dog grooming and shop up in Sisney. But actually, the truth of the matter is, we're looking at job one. When I said I was going to run for this office, was finding jobs, and so jobs really is where I got to spend some part of my time. As I look at the job in front of me, it becomes more challenging by the fact that it appears that even some local industries are having a rough time finding people filling their positions. We certainly see it down West Main and Delaware here. I mean, there are restaurants that are closing before the evening rush because they just can't find people who can make as much money working for them as they can sitting at home on the federal dole.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to make finding jobs even more challenging, quite honestly, and that worries me.
It's worrisome for a lot of areas. As you said, a lot of help wanted signs out there for people to be saying they can't find work right now.
Well, I understand there's literally millions of jobs across the country. And there are more than enough people to be able to fill those jobs. They just don't care to.
That is true. That is true. We see that on all levels. But what about at the level of, say, your street and alley departments? Is that type of industry being affected as well? Or are we mainly looking at the private industries being affected by this?
No, city employment, you know, that we're going to have some retirements. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to look at how we keep services up in a difficult budget environment. I mean, there's only the truth of the matter is, if you recall the big snow that we had, mm-hmm. There were only three. Of course, I wasn't mayor at the time. There were only three plows out because there were only three people that could operate them. There were five operational plows in the city. So, I mean, that kind of problem has to be dealt with now. We have to cross train and find some people that could jump in as a jockey, so to speak, and be able to help us when we get a major snowfall. And I know we're months away from that now.
Right.
Now's the time you got to be thinking about stuff like that, though. Yeah, there's it is a pretty bare bones city workforce right now. And so I've got to evaluate that. I got to look further and see whether or not everybody is properly staffed. And that's going to take an assessment.
I'm sure that can take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Now, once the time comes and you all have the numbers down as to what you're going to need and where, when and where could we expect the announcement for the upcoming openings? Are we going to hear about those locally, or is that just going to be those in the know are in the know?
Oh, no. I'm going to be very transparent. I have to. You know, I spent my career in the news media. You can't all of a sudden shut up and not be conversive with the people that elected you. No, there'll be an open government where items like that are discussed, and we'll be able to have people that not only will they be able to come and have their say at board meetings, but I'm sure we're looking at a retool of the website and the social media that the city uses at this point. It's going to make it much more accessible, and we're going to get a lot more input from citizens by virtue of its being retooled.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Transparency is a key, of course. And we know our newsman will hold you to that. He'll keep you flying to your feet on
I'm
that
sure.
One. Now, Mike, we're coming down to the last 3-4 minutes of the show here, and there's so much to cover. Thankfully, you're here every other week, and we'll be able to move on to things as they develop. But let's talk about some of the cleanup needed in the town real quick. What do you see as your biggest challenge? We've talked in the past about some of the dilapidated properties, some of the unkept properties around town. You've yourself had boots on the ground going around and seeing some of this.
Yes.
What do you see as your biggest obstacle or challenge, and how do you plan to face that head on?
It's not a popular thing to do, to walk onto somebody's property and say to them, this and this has got to be gone in a couple of weeks or we're going to fine you for it. It's not a popular job. It's a dirty job. But truthfully, if you took the time and invested a vote in me, that you know I'm not the type of person that's going to walk away from that challenge. That has to be dealt with in a very firm manner, and there can be no favorites played. You have to take the ordinances, which I'm swearing that I'm going to uphold, and go out and find the people that need to be dealt with using the municipal court, which I'm each meeting putting out a mayor's report that is going to the media as well as to the board members. On that is the activity of the police department, the fire department, and some of the other key departments and the municipal court, so that you can see the baseline starting tonight. This is the activity that we have. And then you'll be able to see the activity after a month or two. And if there isn't any more, then you need to call me out on it.
We'll be happy to do so.
I'm sure you will.
That's what the media is here for, to hold accountability to our elected officials. And you having been now on both sides of that, you should be well aware how that's going
to work. I know how it works, yes.
Mike, let me ask you, in the last 2 minutes that we have here, is there anything in particular on your mind coming in right now on day one that you would like to address before we head off the airwaves?
I've said this before, but I'll reemphasize it. I'm at a point in my life and my career that this is exhilarating for me. I was up at 4:30 this morning. My wife said, "What's going on? I got to get to the office. I need to get to the office." I live jobs. I lived the job while I was here at the radio station. I lived every presidency, college presidency, and I will live this job. Many people need to come up and give Carol a hug because of what she's going to experience over the next 4 years, because I plan on being a very active mayor, and I plan on being very grateful and appreciative to the people that put me in this position, and very honest in how I assess and the things we need to do to be a better city.
We know you're going to do a fantastic job. We look forward to seeing what you do to improve Fairfield. We know you did a lot around here to improve the station. We look forward to seeing what happens here locally in town as well. Mike, thank you so much for joining me, or I should say Mayor. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jeremy.
I look forward to the fact that we're going to have you back here in 2 weeks. We're going to touch base on things. We're going to see how the progress of beginning your mayoral career is going, and we'll touch base from there.
Very good.
Again, thank you. It has been the Community Connection on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM. Again, my guest today was Mayor Mike Dreith of the City of Fairfield. I am your host, Jeremy Smith, wishing you a great rest of your day. And as a reminder, if you'd like to hear this episode of the Community Connection or other past episodes, we archive every episode on our webpage, WFIWradio.com. Just head to the About Us tab and in the drop-down menu, select the Community Connection. Again, on behalf of myself, my guest, and the entire Community Connection staff, have a wonderful rest of your day.